Before we start the show, I want to address a certain phenomenon. Many of you have asked me to offer a course in podcasting, and so I created one. If you ever have wanted to join the ranks of podcasters, to get your message out there, and to become famous, sign up. The link is in the show notes for this episode and also on the blog post for the episode at ProfessorBuzzkill.com. In addition to my words of wisdom, you'll get individual feedback on your podcast ideas and direct advice about how to make your podcast one of the best out there. Again, just click on the link in the show notes or on the blog post at ProfessorBuzzkill.com. And now on to the show.
We shall never surrender.
One small step for man.
I have a dream.
Did all those famous people really utter those historic quotes, or has someone been playing jiggery-pokery with the evidence? Professor Buzzkill sets the record straight on quote or no quote.
Yes, yes, it's your favorite professor here, and you want to know something? It's been weeks and weeks since we looked at a Gandhi quotation. Given that he's probably the most misquoted person in human history after Windy Winston Churchill, it's about time that we examine another supposed Gandhiism. As you know, Gandhi was one of the leaders of the Indian independence movement in the early 20th century and is usually considered the spiritual leader of Indian nationalism. He spent the second half of his life seeking moral and religious meaning behind the fights against injustice and oppression. This led him to add a certain moral and sometimes moralistic tone to his political statements from the 1920s onwards. I think that's one of the reasons why so many sayings, aphorisms, and bits of political and spiritual wisdom are attributed to him, whether or not he ever actually said, or more importantly, coined them. And as we've heard so many times on this show, Gandhi quoting yoga posters, New Age websites, Twitter feeds, and coffee mugs plague our culture and send nitpickers like me into fits of buzzkilling. There's a great quote and sentiment about sticking with a righteous movement for much-needed change, particularly when it's faced with a big, entrenched, and powerful foe. That quote goes like this: first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. And it's often attributed to Gandhi. Now, that's not very surprising. After all, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win, is not an unreasonable summary of the Indian independence movement against British rule in the first half of the 20th century. But we here at the Buzzkill Institute don't call him the Mahatma of misquotation for nothing. And as we'll see in a few minutes, if you're forced to boil down one of Gandhi's very lengthy and sophisticated arguments to a bumper sticker slogan, the first they ignore you thing would fit, more or less. Gandhi never said it, however. This no quote is yet another example of a good thought or saying expressed by a person who's been forgotten or overlooked by the general culture, yet whose words are later attached to a more appropriately famous person, like Gandhi. While addressing the third biennial convention of the Amalgamated Clothing Workers of America in 1918, Cincinnati journalist and trade unionist Nicholas Klein sketched out how successful social movements eventually triumphed. And he ended his speech with the essence of this week's quote. Here it is. "And my friends, in this story you have a history of this entire movement. First they ignore you, then they ridicule you, then they attack you and want to burn you, and then they build monuments to you." That was Nicholas Klein, not Gandhi. Nicholas Klein, by the way, was a frequent contributor to a street newspaper called The Hobo News, which was a magazine for homeless migrant workers in the early 20th century in America. It had a motto, I love this, its motto, "Of the hobos, by the hobos, and for the hobos." It wasn't as flashy, but it was similar to the weekly magazine The Big Issue that started in London in the 1990s, if you've seen that. So it's Nicholas Klein who deserves recognition for coining this statement in 1919. But we can't just leave Gandhi hanging out there, uncelebrated, lonely. 3 years later, Gandhi's much longer exposition of this idea appeared in Freedom's Battle, published in 1921. Addressing the Governor General of India and referring to the Indian non-cooperation movement, which resisted British rule by non-violent boycotts of British goods and the British system, if you know what I mean, as much as possible, Gandhi wrote, quote, "Unfortunately for His Excellency, the movement is likely to grow with ridicule as it is certain to flourish on repression. No vital movement can be killed except by the impatience, ignorance, or laziness of its authors. A movement cannot be insane that is conducted by men of action, as I claim the members of the Non-Cooperation Committee are. Ridicule is like repression. Both give place to respect when they fail to produce the intended effect. It will be admitted that non-cooperation has passed the stage of ridicule. Whether it will now be met by repression or respect remains to be seen. But the testing time has now arrived. In a civilized country, when ridicule fails to kill a movement, it begins to command respect." End quote. That's pretty good. It won't fit on a bumper sticker, but serious thought about serious political action never does. Talk to you next week.